Hi, it's Chris Watkin here, and in my self-employed agency series where I talk to agents about their journey of becoming self-employed agents, I'm with Matt O'Dell, who joined Sean Newman's gang at Newman's in rugby about a year ago. Matt, I'd like to talk about your whole estate agency story, your journey in the last 10 years, and what got you to this point, so others out there can learn from your triumphs and your mistakes. Is that okay?
Absolutely fine.
Good stuff. So 10 years ago, how old were you then, and why the hell did you want to become an estate agent, mate?
10 years ago, I was 15, so I was just finishing school. I started an estate agency when I was about 17, and basically, like most of us, I kind of fell into it.
Okay. Yeah, no one really wants to be an estate agent when they grow up, do they?
It's not really one of those big fancy jobs that everyone likes to look at. Okay. It's something we kind of stumble upon.
So 17 years old, you kind of fell into estate agency. What, branch manager straight away, mate?
No. Junior lettings negotiator.
Right. Who was that for then?
That was for Martin & Co.
Good stuff. In?
In rugby.
Rugby. And do you enjoy the job?
It was all right.
It was all right?
A lot of running around doing inspections and viewings and everything that they didn't want to do. But, you know, it's...
We've all been there, mate.
Absolutely. It's part of the job, unfortunately, isn't it?
So how long were you with Martin & Co for then?
Nearly 18 months.
Okay. And what did you learn there?
I learned that you have to manage your time, because otherwise you'll just get completely snowed under with everything.
So you're 17, 18, too early to decide what you want to do in life. What made you then change to the next employer, and who was that?
So after that, I actually got approached by Connells. So they just opened up the lettings branch here in Rugby. They had a sales brand here for a couple of years, I think.
Okay.
They'd seen that for whatever reason.
So this was 2010, 2011, somewhere around there?
No, about 2013.
All right,
yeah. So I've been 18 months there, and then I went over to Connells. And I was with them for just under a year.
Okay. It's not long.
No. For me, the whole corporate side of things was just...
It was a bit smothering.
Very much so. I think, you know, The manager I had there was fantastic, but I think she felt the same way as me. We've both kind of been chucked in at the deep end with this very corporate, cold start, that there was not a lot of support from upper management.
Okay.
And there was a lot of huge targets that were impossible to hit so quickly. Or at least it felt that way.
Was there anything good working for Connells?
Again, structure. You know, there was a lot of training, which I found really helpful. And when you are fresh out of school, really, still at that point, you know, 18, 19 years old nearly, I think structure and training is hugely important.
Okay. So why are you still at Connells now? Tell me what the next transition was.
So after Connells, I actually got approached to work for Newman's, but at the time it wasn't the right situation for me. I wasn't ready for self-employed agency at 19 years old.
No.
So actually I went to go and work in Coventry for a sales agency called Allsop & Allsop.
Okay, good firm.
Great firm, yeah. You know, in the end I worked with them for 4 years over a couple of different branches.
So you'd been with lettings and now you've moved over to sales. That's quite a rare thing to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people seem to like lettings and stay in lettings forever because it's quite comfortable, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you tend to find with lettings it's a very structured approach, people, systems, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whilst estate agencies a bit more people, selling, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Did you think you found your niche moving over to sales then?
Yeah, I think for me, I hit the ground running. And within, I think, the first 3 months of working with that office, they were only 12-month-old office anyway, but I'd broken the monthly sales record for the first, for the first time, and I was...
How did that make you feel?
I was so excited. They're just under 20 years old. I've gone into this firm with a few big guys, you know. But I used to work with Clint Nykamp once upon a time.
Yeah.
You know, great guy. And actually, to work in that environment where it was busy and it was exciting, I loved it. I loved it, and it stuck with me for a long time.
And you were there for 4 years?
So 2 years in Coventry.
Yep.
And then the bright lights of Dubai came a-calling. So I went to work with them in the head office in Dubai.
Yes, because they're based out there, aren't they?
That's it.
So what was it like being an estate agent in Dubai? So what years were you in Dubai with them?
16 to 18.
Okay.
2016 to 2018. So it was...
Because it's a different market out there, mate.
Different world. Completely different world. It's very much, it sounds amazing, and if you can stick it out for a long, long time, then I'm sure it can be. But a lot of people go there, stick at it for 3 months and think, oh, this isn't for me, and come home. Or brutal their lives and then do it again.
but you did it for 2 years, so you did stick at it.
I did stick at it, yeah. I did stick at it.
And you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed being there. And I think I liked the people I was with more than actually... what I was doing in the end of it.
So what was the catalyst to make you actually bring you back to the UK?
Sure. It got to a point where I was very much chasing that sale just so I could pay my rent, and it was hard.
It changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You're not there doing what you love anymore because you love it. You're doing it because you have to. And if you don't do it and you don't get that closed in time and you don't get the transaction done and there's all the legal paperwork and everything closes at 2 o'clock and it's all going to be done, if you don't get it done, you don't get paid. And you know, it's the same kind of situation as we are here with the self-employed model, is that it was a 50-50 commission split, or you get paid your 6,000 dirhams that they take back off you once you get paid again. So it was huge and it was hard. It was really hard.
So you couldn't pay your rent. What was the straw that broke the camel's back that said, sorry, I'm coming back?
It was when I had to ask my dad to bail me out, basically. And that was...
How did that make you feel?
This big. You know, this big. That, like, my parents have always done everything they ever can to support me. But when you have to go and knock on that door because you've rinsed your 2 credit cards and you've 15 grand's worth of savings are gone and you're there going, head to head, I know you're struggling at the minute, but can you help me out? Because I can't pay my rent.
And what did he say?
He said, yeah, of course I will.
Okay, yeah. And what did they do for you?
Well, they paid my rent, which was, so the way it works out there is you pay in checks. So I was paying every 2 months. So that was 12,000 dirhams, about £2,500. But then because I was leaving, I had to pay another 2 months worth of penalty. So that was now £5,000. I had to pay all sorts of other little bits and pieces. So by the end of it, it was about £6,000 down just to get out of Dubai.
But you said earlier on in the conversation that you've got to stick with it. What made you actually say, right, I'm going to... Yeah, because you could have stuck with it.
I could have done. But I think when you've exhausted all your opportunities financially, like I had done, I had stuck with it. I think, you know, maybe I could have done things a little bit differently.
You could have done differently?
I think when I got there at the start, it was very much still fresh and exciting and new, and maybe I went a little bit crazy to start with and didn't maybe be as cautious as I could have been or should have been. Let it get ahead of itself a bit. Okay. And then I was chasing my tail from pretty much month 4. You know, when that sort of second rent comes through, you know, you're chasing your tail a little bit. Okay. And then it took 7 months to get paid. You know, first and foremost, it took 7 months to actually get a first pay packet.
Do you think those learnings you had in Dubai, and I know we're going to get on to you becoming a self-employed agent in the UK, do you think those learnings did you well for...
Hugely. It's like I had a trial run at self-employed estate agency. You know, maybe could have done it somewhere a little bit less expensive, but yeah, it definitely gave me a grounding, I think.
Okay. So you came back to the UK. I suppose you probably just needed a job.
Yeah, well, I went back into the Coventry office for Allsop for about 3 months. You know, did my rounds there again a little bit, but it wasn't really the same place it had been. And I think the whole experience I'd had the previous 2 years put.
And then you had a few months at Heart, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. So
should you had your fingers burnt with corporate agency, mate?
Well, it's not corporate agency, is it?
No, of course it's never not allowed to call it.
No, don't say that.
Paul Smith would shoot me.
He would. He wouldn't like that at all.
Okay.
But yeah,
it's corporate with a small C.
You're very much so. Very much so. But Vanessa Millwood, who's the area director at Heart, used to be the area director at Connells.
Oh, fabulous.
So I knew her then. I always got on with her, and I thought, you know, it's not corporate, so I'll give it a go. But
okay, but it was not to be.
It wasn't to be, no. Not even 6 months in, I decided to change.
So when did the bright lights of self-employed agency with Sean Newman come calling in?
It was December 2018.
Okay.
When I first got the contact. And I spoke to Sean. I went over to his house because I drove past it every day on the way home. And we had a short Sean conversation, which ended up being 3.5 hours.
Yes.
In his living room with door knocking training on the living room door and the whole shebang. But that was really my first proper conversation about it.
So was it all sweetness and light on January 2019 when you started?
No. It's so different. And there's so much to take in. You know, it isn't like being an egg or a valuer, because you just have a list of applicants to call, or you've got a list of properties to go and see, and they all just come in for you. It isn't like that. You know, this is self-generation is huge. Of course, there are leads that come in from the hub and from the Newman brand that's been there for 30 years. But you realise very quickly that actually not having that safety net of a salary is all of a sudden very, very much.
I know in that time, throughout 2019, people joined at the same time and have subsequently left. I don't mean to mention names, but what did they do or didn't do that you did or didn't do?
Sure, I think a lot of the people that maybe come and gone since then have maybe not been prepared for the fact that it's going to take 6-7 months to actually get paid. You know, first and foremost, it might take you a month to list your first property, a month to sell it, and 4 months with all the conveyancing to go through. And then you miss your pay cut off, so it's the next month anyway.
And you think Dubai did you some good?
Massively.
Okay, but not everyone's got the luxury of going to Dubai and wasting their parents' money. Have you actually sat down with any fellow agents that have joined and almost said, look, you need to be doing the system, you need to be doing this?
Every time someone walks through the door, I think as much as you can, or they get told what happens by, you know, recruitment, by Sean, by everyone, I think as much as you get told this is what it's going to be like, until they sit with a peer who's on the same level as them, they don't necessarily feel like they're being sold to it anymore. They feel like this is what's going on.
How does it make you feel when you'd say something to someone but they still don't change?
I tried. You know, I tried to let people know the situation. I try to help if I can do. And if they're not going to do that, that's fine. That's up to them.
Have you had people come up to you who've changed because of what you've said and not necessarily what Sean and the others have said?
Yeah, I think possibly.
How does that make you feel?
Well, at least I've helped them figure out what they want to do. Whether that be stay here and do the process, or whether that be go somewhere else that's going to be better suited to them.
I mean, what would you do differently if you had your 12 months again?
I think the social media stuff that I'm doing now that I spend the last 6 months...
Because you don't mind me saying, your videos are exceptional.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I really do. I kind of wish I'd started doing it sooner.
Okay.
I was doing videos at the start, but it was very much...
Because I don't know about you, it's the consistency, isn't it?
Massively, yeah.
Because I don't know, this is the first time I've actually said this on camera, actually. I've actually come to the conclusion that not everybody watches every of the videos, but they know the videos are being there.
Yeah.
So you might have 10,000 people watching your videos, but probably only 1,000 will actually watch one.
Yeah.
But you've just got to keep chucking them out because they'll see them and they're going, that's, oh yeah, I'm teaching that.
100%, that's definitely the case. I think, you know, as much as I see your videos probably every day, I'll be honest, I don't watch every single one. There's 400 comes out a day, it looks like.
Yeah. But when you do watch it, you know it's good, so you assume the other ones are good.
Absolutely, there you go. Absolutely. I get something from it, so I know that the other ones will be, you know, at least helpful for someone.
How did you get over breaking your fear of video? Because it's quite a tough one.
I kind of was fortunate in that my few months at Heart, they just started the quick sneak peeks. So I did two or three of those that I'm glad have disappeared off the face of the earth, because they were bad.
But when you do your first videos, first ones are always bad, aren't they? Your first ones were, you know...
They weren't great, no, yeah, absolutely.
But now you flow like the lava stream.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Absolutely, it's hard to...
So you're 12 months in, you're doing your videos, you're doing your social media, you're following the system. You said you would have probably do things differently and started your social media sooner. Financially and emotionally, where are you now?
Sure, so I'm pretty much at the point now where I've paid off everyone that I owe money to.
Does that make you feel good?
Oh, massively. The weight lifted off my shoulders is incredible. And that's just from really the last 4 months of last year, where actually the pay really started to come through.
Yeah.
I made as much in the last 4 months as I would have done as a sales name, doing consistently well through the course of a year on an average company. So that was amazing to see and then to do. It just financially is great, and emotionally, like, to have that stress off your shoulders is incredible.
And what does 2020 hold for Matt then?
More of the last 6 months of last year.
Okay.
Pushing forward more social media. I'm doing a lot of physical campaigning now. We're doing a booklet every month that goes out to everyone I've ever seen and people that I go and see. So just more content marketing, okay. more of that.
And what are you going to do when you do become successful and fall into the trap of not having enough time to do the social media and the content?
Well, that's something I'm actually already working on. So there's a young lad that works with us called Jez, who does a lot of the, which is most of my videos now. And I've actually just signed up with him to manage my videos. So he'll say, right, we need to go and do 4 videos on Friday, and I'll make sure I book out some time.
So what gets, what's get, what's
get scheduled Barry, gets done, yeah. absolutely, yeah. And then he'll schedule the posts for me to actually go on Facebook and do it, and he covers that then. So that allows me to do more of the bits that I'm good at.
That's the beautiful thing of having a self-employed agency, that you can have these things done.
Absolutely.
Well, I wish you well. Thank Keep you doing much. The videos.
Thank you.
Keep dropping in the rugbies in more.
I will, I know, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. But the better you become, you know, I genuinely say this, you're in the top 5 in the UK when it comes to your videos at the moment.
Thank you so much.
So just keep banging away, and I'm glad you've got a system in place to ensure that they, when you are becoming successful, that they continue on and grind it out. And soon, in a year's time, if not probably already, people will be stopping you in the street and asking for your autograph, mate.
But I hope so.
Just make sure you don't go to your head.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers, Chris.